Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 81 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere for the Reason. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So this morning we're going to start with lesson 81 in Unlocking the Prophetic. And the concentration, our concentration this morning in the scripture will be changing the spiritual atmosphere for the reason. As I said, if you want to get up to speed to this teaching, you'll need to watch Sunday's teaching 2 weeks ago, because this is more or less a continuation with more revelation on that message of the reason. We see a change in the spiritual atmosphere for the reason. Now, I want to introduce our thinking today, and as we move forward here today, our train of thought that we're trying to capture and to catch in the Spirit is that God is recovering man. Man is in a fallen state in Genesis chapter 2, 3, Genesis chapter 3. We find ourselves in a fallen state. We are separated from God. At when the beginning, we were created to walk with God, the one-on-one conversation. It has been that you can that God has now been in the process of recovering this relationship with God. As a prophetic people, there's something we need to keep right in our mind's eye, just something that's right in front of us every day that we are awake. And it's that God is recovering man's reason. God is in the recovery business of man's reason. Now, have you noticed how the enemy is, the battle in the spirit is over your reason? Your reason for existing, your reason that God brought you into this planet. God brought you here. You're not an afterthought. Everyone is a forethought. You were thought of before the foundations of the world. So no one's an afterthought. Everyone's a forethought. And Satan himself has taken it as a personal offense, and he is out to destroy the reason that God has created every one of us. It's amazing how the struggle is so great. You know, the enemy would not have a chance at destroying the reason we were created outside of our own personal selfishness. The dark side would not stand a chance at destroying the reason we were created outside of our own personal selfishness. So we find that selfishness is the entry point of destroying the reason God has created us all. He said to Eve that if you take of this tree, that you will have the knowledge of good and evil. He says, he gave Eve this idea that something glorious was being withheld from her. To find out that it was a lie, what was being withheld was death. And we can look back on Eve and say, how could she be so stupid? But yet we encounter the same question every day that we live. Satan is saying to us, the dark side is saying to us, that if we'll just live for ourselves, that there we'll find true life and happiness. So there's this battle going on and within us. I present to you this morning this idea, this biblical truth that God has created you for a reason. Why else would the dark side try to make you feel worthless? You're worthless because you have no reason to be here. It is an emotion, it's a feeling of being worthless. I present to you this idea this morning that we need to discover the reason God has put us here. Now, don't think that you'll have it in its entirety. We are discovering, and it's being revealed to each one of us, the purpose and the reason that God has put us here through your whole entire life. So God is building on your reason every day that you get up. You can get up and encounter something today. You can say, oh, that's the reason I'm here. Oh, you mean this is the reason I'm here? And you know, some of the reasons that we're here are harder than others. Have you noticed? Some are even unbearable. There's not a person sitting in here or listening to me online that does not have a struggle in life. Those that appear to have it all together do not. Those that win the lottery all fail. There is something that we want to find. As we walk and discover the reason in which God has created us, we start seeing a prophetic world that we have never seen. I propose to you that the reason is very important because it is there that you can see into the Spirit. You see into the Spirit through the reason. If I gave you a diagram of the spiritual paths, we are all at an intersection of the reason. The dark side wants us to take a left and the reason pulls us to the right. But yet we're constantly tempted. As the definition becomes more clear to us all of our reason, surely the signs along the roadway and the path are, surely they become more clear as we know where we are headed. So therefore, God is recovering man's reason. Not only did he recover you in salvation, but he has recovered you with a purpose and a reason to be saved. Amen. Now, Adam lost his reason when he gave up being responsible. Now, I'm going to start meddling into your life a little bit. I'm sure you'll appreciate that. I wouldn't get up and leave because everybody would think that you're leaving because you don't want to hear it. Adam lost his reason when he gave up being responsible. Now, being responsible is not a bad word. When you sit behind the car and grab the steering wheel and you take it out of park and put it into drive, there is an element of responsibility that comes with you driving a car. You automatically just put her in gear and you know you're responsible not to hit the car to the right of you leaving the parking lot. So there's a sense of responsibility. But for some reason in the Christian life, we just want to get in the car and put it in drive and just hit the gas and let her land everywhere she'll land. And we run into everything in the parking lot of life and wonder why we hit something. What is the problem? The problem is in the Christian life, we need to understand it's at least a little more than driving a car. There's a responsibility that goes with the Christian life. If you want to move forward and not hit a lot of obstacles. Now, I didn't say somebody wouldn't run into you, but you for sure don't want to be running into everybody else. So Adam lost his reason. Man lost his reason. We go back to the beginning. We understand God is redeeming the reason in which we live, the reason in which we were created. So we're always learning along the way of this purpose and this reason. Let me share this with you. I've spoken this before, and I know if people can accept this in me, that they have a chance to hear the rest of what I'm going to say. I've said to you, and I've told you before, I have never spoken in tongues. Never have. And there's some that thinks lesser of me, saying, well, I just don't quite have it yet. or I'm short one blessing. But I am quite content that when or if ever God wants to give me that gift, that I'll have it. But it just so happens that God's given me the gift of the interpretation of tongues. I can't speak one forwards or backwards, barely do English. But when somebody has a true gift and they start speaking, I can see it. I can interpret it at words, but I have to interpret what I'm seeing. So therefore, I have the gift of interpretation, but I've never spoken in tongues. But do you know, since I've never spoken in tongues, I have a great appreciation for those that do. I just love to hear it. I think it's incredible. Love to hear it. I know it's a gift from God. But yet, I do not have that gift. Does that make me any lesser? No. Does it make those that do any greater? No. Does it make my appreciation for it greater? Yes. It's because I don't have it, but I appreciate it in someone else. So we see that there's a gift of appreciation of that you don't have, knowing that God is fulfilling His reason in all of us. Are you with me? The reason of God is the collective purposes of His people. And for God's collective purposes of His people to be able to come together into unity, we learn that we can appreciate God in each other. I don't have the revelation of all things. I don't have the revelation of tongues. I've made several statements, and I'll say it here, of the courts of heaven. There's a big thing now going on in the courts of heaven. I say I don't understand it. But it's okay for me to say I don't understand it. I don't have that revelation. Do I think others can have it? Yes, I do. I don't speak in tongues either. But I appreciate those that do. I don't have the revelation of the courts of heaven. I appreciate those that do. But it doesn't mean that I have it. But it does mean that I can appreciate it. Now, if you don't have it, you have to wait a while before you appreciate. Can anybody feel where I'm going? Yeah, it takes you a while to appreciate what God's doing. But here's my point. My point is that we're all to be responsible with what we have and not project upon each other what we don't have. It's very important. If you have one revelation but don't have another, and those don't accept you because of your revelation, it's okay. They just don't have it. It's okay. It's really okay. Do you know how you can tell the difference? Here's how you can tell. If their love is greater than their message, they have a true revelation. If your love is greater than your message, you have a true revelation from God. It's not about being right. Did you know on your best day, it's going to come up as filthy rags? Way Paul said it, that was his good day. I can identify with that. But when our love exceeds our message, then we can appreciate all that God's doing. If somebody doesn't quite love you with your message yet, give them a little time. They'll get there. Because your love's greater than your message. That's what I call being responsible. It's very, very important as a people of God that we are responsible with the reason. Now here we see that Adam lost his reason. And when he lost his reason, he gave up his responsibility. He gave up his reason. For some reason, Adam went on, his brain went on, he checked it out at the door or something. All of a sudden, he forgot the reason he was in the garden with God. He was in the garden with God to talk with God and communicate with God. That's why he was there. The one that is responsible or in charge is the one that can respond. So when, and I've taught you a little of this, but we're going to go a little deeper. When Adam gave up his responsibility, he gave up his authority. Well, when he gave up his authority, he gave up his reason. Why were they expelled from the garden? Because they lost their reason of being in the garden. Now let's move on. Responsibility means the ability to act in the authority of the reason of the kingdom. Now come on, we're going to go somewhere. You ready to go with me? Somebody ready to fly? The kingdom of God has a reason. Now, I submit to you, if you want to get into the reason of the kingdom of God, you must learn the spiritual art form of appreciating the Spirit of God in others that's different from you. Somebody hear me. How can you test it if their love is greater than their message? That's how you test it. When I had cancer and I had 3 months to live, and I talked to God there a little bit, and I asked God to clean my heart up. I said, I want to meet you as clean as I can. First thing he said to me was, Alan, who are you to defend me? I thought, well, really, truly, here's what I thought. Well, that's a little rude. That's what I thought. Don't think that was right. I don't think I was thinking right, but that's what I thought. Thought that was a little rude. But again, I got to thinking about it. The truth is, I thought I had to defend God. You know, God's pretty big. And he said to me, he said, I don't need you to defend me. I need you to live for me. Don't need you to defend me. So all of a sudden, I didn't have much to do because I'd spent most of my life defending God and his word. I thought, you mean to tell me I just threw all that down the ditch? Then I had to concentrate on not defending him, that he could take care of himself. But then I had a new reason. He wanted me to live unto him. Now here's the idea I want to submit. We live unto God before man. You don't live unto man before God. You live unto God before men. You don't live unto men before God. Anybody with me? We live unto God before men. This morning, I am speaking unto God before you. But in my heart, I know what I'm doing. I'm speaking unto God. So therefore, I shudder at everything I say. It is imperative, and it scares me to death not to be honest and transparent. It really does. That's the reason I use the example of tongues or whatever, because I have to be transparent. It's imperative that I'm transparent, that the Spirit of God might speak truth through me. I do not want to pretend to be some spiritual something that I know that I'm not. But I do declare to you, I want to be honest and transparent because I know I'm speaking unto God. It just so happens y'all are here listening. But I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to God before you. So we live our lives unto God before men. Why? Because I know my reason I'm here. The reason I'm here, God, went back when I first started speaking, I was like Moses, and I said, God, I can't speak. He said, no, you just speak to me. You just speak to me, and you'll be all right. Just speak to me. And over the years, I finally got it. I just speak to God before men. We're to live our lives that way. You live your life unto God before men. You don't live your... The battle comes, the confusion comes when you live your life unto men before God. Then we kind of look around and see if God approves or not. But when we live our life unto God, all of a sudden, the skies get clear, the understanding gets clear, the confusion leaves. For you're living unto God, and all honesty and transparency, as good as you know, I have no fear that what I know at this point's not enough. I do have great courage and faith that God's given me what I know to be here. So we see here that responsibility means the ability to act in the authority of the reason of the kingdom. So the kingdom of God, as we move forward, we see it has a reason. The kingdom of God has a reason. God had a reason to send Jesus Christ to the earth. He had a reason when He created you. He had a reason when He saved you. And He'll have a reason on why He's going to heal you. Please hear this spiritual term, reason. Responsibility means the ability to act in authority of the reason of the kingdom. If you want to prophesy and hope that you're right and your reason is so you can look like somebody big and spiritual, it's a bad reason. Bad reason. We just need to check our reason. Why and what is the reason in which you live? To whom or what are you giving your reason of living to? Can y'all see there's somebody down in that little hole there? Does that remind you of a story in the Bible? What would it be? Joseph. Joseph was thrown into a pit or a well by his brothers. Y'all remember the story. He was thrown into the pit by his brothers. Now, I present this thought to you. You must embrace the reason in the pit before you can walk in the reason in the palace. Somebody say, oh me. Oh, me. I bet I'm on my way. Okay. You must embrace. Joseph had to embrace the reason he was thrown in the pit before he could walk in the reason in the palace. Now watch this one. His brothers sold him, but God sent him. Whoa. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? You must embrace the reason in the pit before you can walk in the reason of the palace. There again, reason. There's a reason that the pit happened. There's a reason. But he had to embrace the reason in the pit. Why? Because there's something on the other side of the pit. If you're a child of God, remember this. There is something on the other side of the pit. If you are a child of God, there is victory on the other side of the pit. Yes! You are not going to stay in the pit. Just get the reason and why you're there so you can be promoted to the next part of the reason. We must embrace the reason. Are somebody with me? When you embrace, you trust. Embracing is trusting. When we learn how to not despise the pit, but embrace the pit, we start seeing the reason of the pit. Joseph knew how to make all things work together for good. He understood that spiritual truth. Then he could declare, "You sold me, but God sent me." God sent him to the palace via the pit. I don't know who writes God's roadmaps in heaven. Perhaps he could get a Google GPS and get a shorter route or something. He knew that in their minds he was sold, but he knew the reason God sent him. Now, a true disciple does not allow circumstances in life to define their reason. We can say, well, this has happened, so therefore, because that happened, I'm going to do this. Wrong thinking. You just took the bait. Just because something happens in your life, it could be somebody said something against you. It could be that you lost a job, you were falsely accused. It could be some type of sickness or illness. Any crisis in life, you got to understand something. We do not allow these circumstances to define our reason. Joseph did not allow that pit to define the reason he was in the pit. Because greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that was in Joseph than he that was in that pit. No matter what pit you're in, greater is he that is in you. Why? Because he has a reason for you to be there, and there is victory on the other side. You're not staying in the pit. You must own where you are in life to have the authority of the reason to change your life. When we own where we are in life, Joseph might have been in the pit, maybe 6 feet by 6 feet, but he owned all 6 feet of it. He owned every bit of it. And because he owned it, he had a reason. Now, this is spiritual terms. When you own it, when you own something, had Adam owned, had he owned his sin, the reason would have changed the reality. Since Adam didn't own it, he gave it away. His authority went with it. Owning where you are gives you reason of responsibility and in turn gives you your authority back. Now understand something, the pit, the crisis, whatever it is, has a reason. And I've heard people say, well, I'm in this situation. Well, that God sure is mean. Right. Or you're mad. God did this, so I'm mad. God's not fair. I didn't see nowhere where he said fair. If it had been fair, you'd be in hell. That's what fair looks like. God operates in grace and mercy. That's what God operates in. Don't ask him to operate in fear. Don't go there. Now, let me save you about 25 years. Don't go there. Now, how do disciples condition themselves to receive and carry the reason of God with true power? Now we see that Joseph went from the pit to the palace. What was meant for evil, God meant it for good. His trip to the palace was via the pit. Consider something. The crisis that you're in, whatever you're in, is en route to via the palace. Receive that. How do disciples condition themselves to receive and carry this reason? You get conditioned in the pit to carry the reason of the kingdom. Just the way it is. Say, well, Alan, I thought it would be easier than this. Well, I did too. But it's not. Now, here's what happened with Daniel. Let's look at Daniel right quickly. It's in Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel conditioned himself. Now, you can say, well, he wasn't supposed to eat of that old wicked king's table. He could have eaten of that table. There wasn't nothing there he couldn't eat of. That, when you get off on that, you're on the wrong, you're not getting the prophetic meaning here. Daniel knew that the king had the best food. Had the best food there was. Daniel knew that. But he didn't want to defile himself. What did he mean by defile? He didn't want to break his personal disciplines of life. The king's table represented to Daniel a place of comfort. Now, prophetic people, if you really want to be prophetic, you need to hear what I'm going to tell you. If you want to be a prophetic people of God, to be prophetic, wow, here we go. You're going to have to give up some comforts of life. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. Daniel did not have to give up that comfort of life. Big old turkey of a dressing and ham and mashed taters. And they had it all. Daniel had two things in his life that he did. He was very conscious about what he ate. You can say it was Jewish law, whatever, if you want to, that's all right. But Daniel had more going on than that. He was disciplined in what he ate, and he disciplined in his prayer. Prayed every day. He had two main disciplines in his life. As a prophetic people, I encourage you to have at least one discipline in your life that you're doing all the time. One thing of comfort that you are willing to do without for a personal discipline. Y'all don't look like I just told you a Christmas story. This is not a Hallmark moment. Pick out one discipline continually in your life, every day of your life. Have one, at least one. You can run two or three. The idea is this. How do you create and work disciplines in our life? How do we work it for a spiritual good? It's because we are willing to discipline ourselves. Now, the easiest thing to do is to start off with, say, well, I smoke and I want to quit smoking. Well, discipline yourself and quit. Start off with some disciplines that you need to stop anyhow. That's a good place to start. Because those aren't the hard ones. The hard ones is when you start disciplines things that you don't have to or you don't need to. But you're going to give it as unto the Lord to create a discipline in your life. Now, you got to hear me. When you discipline this flesh, what are you disciplining the flesh to? The ways of comfort. See, all of our society, everything today is what's right, is what's comfortable. Totally against the spirit world. Well, I want to make a bunch of money so I can be comfortable. Well, I want to live in this house so I can be comfortable. I want to do all this stuff so I can be comfortable. And if you caught on yet, God's trying to make your life uncomfortable. And you're fighting to make it comfortable, aren't you? And you messed around and told God you wanted to hear his voice, didn't you? Yeah, you did. Come on now. You did. God said, okay, you're going to have to create some disciplines in your life. There's got to be some things in your life that's going to make you uncomfortable. But yet, you're going to press through the uncomfortableness of it. Because it does some spiritual work within you. Let's move on. Daniel knew the reason he was there. Daniel knew the reason was there. The reason he didn't eat at the king's table is he didn't want to get fat and sassy and laying back with everybody else like he was a big shot. Daniel knew why the reason why he was there. You're looking for the reason. Have you ever wondered, why am I here? What is going on? What is the meaning of life? There's a reason you're here. There's a reason. And it's not to lay around and get comfortable in everything of life. You don't measure life. You don't measure a job by how much time off you get. And then say that's a good job. I've told you before, I had this guy come to me and say, I only got a new job and I'm off 2 weeks and I get this and I got that and da-da-da. And he went on, I know, for 10 minutes. I said, okay, but what's the job? What's the job? He measured the whole job by everything that he didn't have to do, what was comfortable. And listen, you got to catch on to what I'm saying. I don't have words to say all I'm trying to say. You've got to catch it. I'm not saying it's not all right to be comfortable in some things, but when your purpose in life is to run after everything that's comfortable, and if you think that you're going to be successful in life because everything's comfortable, you're healthy, wealthy, wise, you got it all. Here I am. I'm just a picture of pure comfort. Somebody. I've got to make an announcement to the planet Earth. That's a lie. And then we got this gospel out here being preached that embraces that. I'm like, I don't mean nobody no harm, but Daniel didn't do it. So Daniel did not partake of the king's table because he didn't want to get fat and sassy and comfortable. He had disciplines. Why? Because he knew the reason he was there in the palace. He knew, day one, 14, 15-year-old boy, knew why he was there. When everybody else was dead and gone, he was an 80-year-old prophet and he was still there, running the whole cotton-picking country as a slave. Now go figure that one out. How did he get there? Because he refused to allow himself to be comfortable by the ways of the world, and he disciplined himself so, and it equaled something. Daniel protected his reason by training his appetite. You've got an appetite that goes to everything that's comfortable. But Daniel trained his appetite. I think what he did eat was pretty bland. I think it's like water and beef jerky or something. I don't know what it was. It's pretty plain. But he knew the reason he was there. So he protected the reason he was there. The reason we have self-disciplines is out of protection of a reason. Anybody get that? Daniel did not live by a comfort principle. All right, if you're going to be a prophetic people, you got to hear me. If you're going to be a prophetic people, followers, disciples of Christ, you do not live by the comfort principle. Have you ever noticed when most missionaries, they go with a backpack and that's about it? Are they living by the comfort principle? Well, there's a few that do, but it didn't work out right. I've talked to them on the phone too. Now, Daniel was in constant training, therefore, protecting his reason by not being spoiled by comfort. Comfort, I'm talking about in excess. I'm not, there again, don't think I'm against getting comfortable. But I think y'all understand what I'm trying to say. The ways of the world, everything that drives my life is comfort, comfort, more comfort. A true disciple desires to retrain appetites. If you find yourself this way, or if the Holy Spirit's showing you some things, a true disciple says, I want to be retrained. We must understand that a disciple will always face a choice, one of comfort versus one of discipline. You will have to discipline yourself. What is a discipline? It's giving up something that you don't want to give up. Daniel's reason equals prophetic understanding and wisdom. So therefore, you can say, well, how in the world can Daniel not eating of the king's table produce understanding and wisdom? I can give you the correct answer. I don't know. For some reason, it equaled God trusting him or something. Because the divine understanding and wisdom Daniel had came from above. So Daniel contributed just a little something on earth, which was refusing to be made fat and sassy by the comforts of the world. He kept his disciplines of prayer and what he ate. That was his for him, because he knew the reason he was there, and he ran the whole country when he was 70 and 80 years old. It says this in verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge. You know the four children of Daniel 1. He gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel had all understanding in visions and dreams. Because he wouldn't eat at the king's table. You can say, Alan, I don't see that. Well, you'd read it. It was right before this. The visions and dreams and understanding came after he kept himself in his reason. He was there. The reason he was there was so that God would give him understanding. And the way he protected his reason was he did not yield to something of the world that was more comfortable. Anybody seeing it? So our temptation will come through things of the world trying to make you think you're more comfortable if you do this. I'm telling you, out of the Word of God, that if you're going to follow God and be a true prophetic person and see Spirit, that you're going to have to discipline yourself to do some things you do not want to do. Now, I just told you the truth. And I'll tell you what else. When you get to the end of yourself and you can't do it anymore, God will be there and He'll carry you to the end of your discipline. You don't have enough within you to carry it out. You got enough to get her started. You got enough to get about halfway there. You ever had your kids tell you when you're going on vacation, Daddy, we're there yet? I know some of you are asking God that right now. Daddy, are we there yet? Only thing I can tell you, He'll carry you the rest of the way. You will get there if you'll keep your discipline. Discipline will carry you where your energy will not. Discipline will carry you when your energy runs out. It's your discipline that holds you when you have no strength to hold yourself. God's not going to make you feel like going on. He's going to discipline you to go on. You don't feel anymore. You do it because it's the right cotton-picking thing to do. That's why you do it. It's the right thing to do. And you'll surprise yourself, and God will give you power to do it. Last half of the journey, you won't even feel it. You'll be numb. When you get there, you won't even know it. You're just numb. Now, somebody knows what I'm talking about. You're just numb. But because you stood in the disciplines of God, He carried you while you was numb. You said to yourself about halfway through, I can't make it. You're right. So you go numb. But I'm going to stick with God. If I die, I'm going to die right here. I'm not moving, devil. I'm not moving. I've lived in the discipline I'm not going to take the comforts of the world. My eyes are on you, God. My life is disciplined, and I'm following you if I die right here. And all of a sudden, you wake up in the palace. God carried you home. I've told you before, if you don't know how you got to where you are, it's because God got you there. Can't explain it. You just wake up and God got you there, and all of a sudden you start trying to tell everybody, and you just well be speaking another language. They have no idea what you're talking about. You can't even hardly share it because you look like, and the more you talk, more of an idiot you feel. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's because God got you there. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. He was 78 years old there. All over, he disciplined himself not to eat from the king's table. That's what got him there. Can anybody see what the Bible's saying here? What got Daniel there? What got him his vision? It's because he walked in disciplines that God gave him. Everybody's disciplines are different. But trust me, God's given us all disciplines all the time he's challenging us with. And the reason he's doing it is because he has some things he wants. You got to discipline yourself to hear the things of God. What does a kingdom reason look like? Well, it's 20 after 10, so I'll do this one little thing. We're going to have to stop this week, but I've got a lot more to tell you. To live in your reason is the only place you will feel complete. Now, you can run all over the globe. The only place you'll feel complete is when you walk in the reason God has created you. If you think your reason for living is so you can have every comfortable thing in life, every big screen TV, every new car, every boat, you can have all the money you want. If you think that's the reason you're here, you're not paying attention. Even though that drives most of humanity. Because you see, all of those reasons would be fine if you're staying. But none of those reasons go with you. You leave them all behind. The reason God created us was for eternity's reason. When you know the fullness of your reason is when we leave here. I had a dream on this. I won't have time to share it. But in the dream, I left here, was going to heaven. And as soon as I walked into the kingdom, the reason in which I was here hit me right in the face. The reason was I ran right into Jesus. I can't tell you all that went in me. But all of a sudden, I knew why I was here. I knew what their purpose I was to. The completion of my reason was when I ran right into Him. The reason that you're here. The reason. The completion of who our reason of being here is, our completion, is when we meet Him face to face. But let me tell you something. There's a journey unto the completion. There's a journey. That's the reason this song just so touches me that Karen's going to lead us in. You can stand and we'll pick up again here next week. But it's this, I want you to listen to this song as we begin our worship set right now. This is not a break, this is a worship. Because we're going to walk in to the reason in which we live. Now, I hope this song goes to another level for you. So, Lord Jesus, be with us. Give us revelation, O God, of the reason You've given us life, the reason You've created us. Teach us and help us, O God, to live unto Your reason and not my reason, is our prayer. Amen.